to begin the new year as a church than in observing communion together. And we're going to do that as a church in just a few moments. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for a brand new start. It feels that way. The old year is gone. This new year begins. And we want to be men and women of faith in this new year. We want to be strong. We want to be fruitful. We want to be working, Lord, ministering, serving, representing, witnessing for you. I pray that you would bless this time as we consider all your sacrifice for us. Encourage us. Motivate us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we partake of the elements, I do want to challenge us on this first Sunday as we go into a new year. And I think that we need to do that as we begin a new year. We need to challenge ourselves to keep moving forward. And I just want to speak on one verse this morning, one short verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, which says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." That one short verse sums up 18 years in the life of Jesus. From right about the age of 12 till 30. That sums up his life. We don't know a lot of details about the life of Jesus during those years, but here's what we do know from this verse. He increased. He advanced. He grew. He progressed. In fact, the Greek word for increase, I love it. It's a neat word. It's the Greek word prokopto. Pro means before or forward. And then kopto literally means to cut, to beat, to drive, to cut forward, to push forward, to beat ahead, drive forward. It's a word that makes me think of tunneling, cutting through bedrock in order to create this tunnel from point A to point B. You know, when we go to Israel, one of our favorite stops in the old city of Jerusalem is a place called Hezekiah's Tunnel. It's an incredible story. In 701 BC, Hezekiah built this tunnel underground between the Gihon Spring and the Pool of Siloam, and the idea was to bring water inside the city walls. So they cut this tunnel. It's about 1/3 of a mile long. It's about maybe 5 feet high in some places, and water flows in it. And if you're not claustrophobic, you can actually walk through the tunnel, which I've done several times with groups. We walk with our candles and phones. And it's, the story's amazing, though, because way back then you had one team start here and another team start here, and they tunneled and met in the middle. Incredible feat of engineering before there were instruments and things like that. But as I walk through that tunnel, I think of those people, you know, cutting through stone with the picks, fighting, clawing, burrowing, working hard. Prokopto. They prokoptoed. This is the same word for Jesus. He prokoptoed. He increased. He clawed forward. He grew. And our text says that he grew in four main areas. First, he grew in wisdom. Jesus increased in wisdom. Jesus grew intellectually. He grew in intelligence. He worked and disciplined himself to gain wisdom. Now, this word wisdom, Sophia, is a big general word that speaks of all kinds of wisdom that you might learn in life, the affairs of life, the trade, academics, all of those sorts of things. Jesus grew in wisdom. Now, that's odd for us to think about because, you know, Jesus, what did he need to learn? Right? Who could teach him anything? And this brings us to the mystery of the incarnation. Jesus is fully God and fully man, and Jesus is the Son of God, knew everything. But mysteriously, Jesus is the Son of Man, had to learn and grow intellectually, just like you and I do. So he developed mentally from infant to toddler to elementary, tween, teenager, adult. Jesus literally had to learn the Hebrew alphabet. He had to learn academics. He had to learn the Torah, the Old Testament, the book that he helped write. He had to learn. He had to learn all of that information that goes with living in that society. He also had to learn this trade of carpentry, where he learned how to use the tools and work the saws. And he learned all that. He increased. He grew. And he took it very seriously, no doubt. Obviously, he had a brilliant mind, and he gathered all kinds of information, and his wit and brilliance showed. I love how he used to show up the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You remember in the times when they would come and try to trap him with trick questions and the way he was able to outwit them. He grew. Now, he's our example. He's our role model. And so I want to challenge us. We need to increase, cut forward intellectually this year. We need to grow in wisdom. And I would challenge you to do that. Make those goals. You know, perhaps many of us, or some of us, are in college. We're in schools right now. And, you know, I would encourage you to actually learn the material. Don't just try to get A's. Actually learn it. Learn the material. Understand. Study. Get better at your trade. Get better at your business. Keep learning. I would encourage you to discipline yourself this year to obtain more spiritual wisdom, no doubt. So I would encourage you to read your Bible, study, commit to reading thought-provoking Christian books. Understand an area of theology that perhaps maybe you've never studied before. Maybe you'd like to challenge yourself this year to study all the scientific evidence for creation by intelligent design. Work at it. Commit yourself to studying. Howard Hendricks said that if we stop reading, we stop learning. And when we stop learning, we stop preaching or witnessing. Spurgeon said, "The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves he has no brain of his own." And then we've all heard that beautiful term. Leaders in life are readers. Leaders are readers. Grow. Increase intellectually this year. Jesus did. So that means get off all the social media. Stop. Balance all your binge watching on Netflix. I mean, literally take time to seed in to your intellect. Think. Read. Grow. Get stronger in that area of your life. Secondly, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and then also in stature. Obviously, that means he grew up physically. He grew from a 12-year-old to an 18-year-old to 30. He got stronger. He got taller. He got broader. There was physical development in Jesus. And I personally believe that Jesus was a good, physically fit man. I know there's a lot of people that think, oh, he's gentle and mild. And a lot of people see Jesus as being kind of wimpy. And I don't know why. I think he was buff. I think he was strong. I think he was in good shape. And I say that because, I mean, he was a carpenter for 18 years. And as a carpenter, he would have worked with lumber, wood. Carpenters in those days also cut stone. Prokopto, cut through hard stone. And he did that for 18 years of his life in the days before power tools. He was strong. He walked everywhere. And there are great examples of that physical strength. There's that time where he's walking on the water and Peter starts walking on the water for a while and Peter sinks. And, you know, the story, Jesus pulled that sopping wet fisherman out of that lake and put him back up on the boat. That's strong. And then what about the story of Jesus going into the temple, turning over the temple tables, taking that whip and driving people out? He was strong. And then what about the torture that he faced on Good Friday through the crucifixion? How he handled that. He grew in stature. And so I would recommend that you follow his example and that you would grow physically. Now, I'm not saying to grow around the waistline. Take care of yourself. The beginning of a new year, I think it's good and right to make goals. If you need to lose some weight, lose some weight. Go on a diet. You need rest. You need exercise. Take care of yourself. Get rid of the habits in your life that are no good for you. A nurse shared this story. She said, a client came in to join our program at the weight loss clinic where I work. I asked for her doctor's name and phone number so we could get medical approval, and after I dialed the number the woman had written down, I realized the source of her weight problem. The person on the other end answered, Dino's Pizza Parlor, home of the 4-inch deep dish pizza. Maybe there's some bad habits that you need to get rid of physically. Take care of yourself. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You realize if you're a Christian, your physical body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means you should take care of it. Romans chapter 6, Paul says, do not present your members, the members of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Your body is an instrument meant to be for righteousness. You're to use your hands, your feet, your health to serve the Lord in different ways. So take care of yourself. Grow in that area. Take it serious. Do it for the Lord. Now, just a quick balance on that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Okay, so now a lot of people, they'll go overboard on the physical. They'll become the gym rats. And, you know, you'll see, they're always, you know, posting selfies of them in the gym. And they're all into it. And their whole life is about it. Be careful. It does profit, but that verse says it profits a little compared to getting in good spiritual health. But take care of yourself. Grow in that area of your life. The Lord wants to use a healthy body this year. So take care of it. Jesus also increased, as it says in our text, in favor with men. I'll do that one first. That means that Jesus grew socially. He was in favor with men. People liked him. He got along with others. He was social. Jesus was not a hermit like John the Baptist, who kind of grew up, remember, in the wilderness off by himself. No, Jesus was very social, and we see that as he grows up and goes into his public ministry. We find Jesus at weddings, at feasts. We find him with people. In fact, Jesus would often invite himself over to other people's houses for dinner. I love that. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? He's going into Jericho, and Zacchaeus is this wee little guy. And Zacchaeus gets up in the sycamore tree just to get a look at Jesus as he comes by. And it says in Luke 19, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make much haste and come down, for today I must stay and eat at your house. Invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. That's Jesus with people. In fact, Jesus also spent a lot of time eating in the houses of unbelievers. In Luke chapter 7, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Now, he never participated in sinful activity, but he was right there with the unbelieving sinner socializing. He reached out. He grew in favor with men. Now, he's our example. Now, I've challenged you to grow intellectually, grow physically, grow socially this year. Be involved in people's lives. Come out of your shell. Don't be a recluse. In fact, I would encourage you, one of the best ways that you can become involved in people's lives is by serving at church, getting involved in church. We just went through a whole list, guys, gals, of how you can get involved in a women's ministry, a men's ministry, our Wednesday nights, different things that you can literally get involved in. And you can make some great friends this year and be a part of fellowship. There's another way that I would like to challenge you. It's good to be a part of ministries and doing those kinds of things, but I would challenge you to actually serve in a ministry, in church, in some way, an usher, greeter, a part of the children's ministry. I promise you, when you serve in a local church, you meet people. And you form some of the best friends. Grow socially. Determine that you're going to, this year, reach out to non-believing people at work. Non-believing family members, non-believing friends. Invite them to church. Invite them over to your place. Reach out in the name of Jesus. I would challenge you socially this year, if you have an issue with somebody, if there's a grudge you're holding, if there's a relationship in your life that needs to be reconciled, pursue that. Do whatever you can to heal that relationship on your end. While we're talking about being social, be sure to be social with your family. Hang out and have fun with your wife, with your husband. Date one another this year. Spend time with the kids. Do fun things. Do things together. Grow socially. Jesus grew in favor with men. And then it also says that Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, in favor with men, and also in favor with God. Jesus grew spiritually. And again, this is a hard one to figure. I mean, God and man and the incarnation. How would Jesus have to grow in his relationship with the Father? Before he came to earth, he was in perfect communion and union and fellowship with the Father. And somehow when he came here to become like one of us, in his humanity as the Son of Man, he grew in favor with the Father. And oh, there's no doubt that was the most important relationship in the Lord's life as he lived out his life here. His relationship with the Father. We know that he spent time with the Father. In Mark chapter 1, it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Luke 6, "Now it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." The Son, spending time with the Father, growing spiritually, serving as an example, a role model to us. My friends, I challenge you to grow spiritually this year. Grow in favor with God. Spend time with your Lord. Spend time in prayer. Spend time, again, I repeat myself, in reading God's word daily. Make that a part of your daily routine as you spend time. In fact, I would challenge you to read through the Bible in entirety in 2021. I want to share with you a letter that I just got last week. A dear sister in Christ writes, "Dear Pastor Terry, I want to share with you what a sermon you preached early in 2020 meant to me." She says, "You challenged the congregation to read their Bible through in 1 year. I took that challenge, and I'm 3 days from finishing reading through the Bible in 1 year. I've been a believer since 1984, and this is a first for me. it was the perfect year to do this. Had a lot of time last year, right? She says, I've been so inspired that I plan on reading it through again in 2021. This time I'm going to use a different translation Bible. Thanks for all you do to serve. Here's a woman who became a born-again Christian 36 years ago in 1984. Last year, she read through the Bible from cover to cover for the first time in her life. And it changed her life. And so, I challenge you. How long have you been a Christian? Have you read through the Bible from cover to cover? There's lots of programs, lots of little Bibles that you can buy, chronologically speaking. And man, go for it. Do it. Cut forward, tunnel, claw, increase spiritually. This year, it'll change your life. Grow intellectually, grow physically, grow socially. And my dear friend, grow spiritually. And by the way, I would say of those four, what would be the most important? Your spiritual growth. Make that priority number one. And let me tell you why. When you're growing in that area of your life, when you're getting closer to the Lord, that spills over into every other area. And prospers and blesses every other area. If your vertical relationship with God is healthy and strong and growing, it'll impact your horizontal relationships. It'll impact your horizontal living. So I would encourage you, make that priority number one. Follow the Lord's example. Keep growing. Who knows what's going to happen this year, but I promise you that we need to be ready. We need to be strong Christian men and women in every area of our lives. So I challenge you. You know, when you're seeking the Lord and when you're wanting to serve Him, like I said, His blessing pours out on every other area of your life. He'll help you physically. He'll help you socially. He'll help you in all the different ways that you need to grow this year. And I will tell you, you can trust Him. You can trust the Lord with your life. Nobody loves you more than Jesus. Nobody knows you better than Jesus. And in fact, in just a few moments, let's remember the sacrifice that Jesus made to save you, to make it possible for you to be a child in His family. Jesus offered Himself. At the cross, He took our sins, He died in our place, He endured such hardship and suffering. And He did that. That was the only way that you and I can be saved. He did it. And He rose again. And so consider how much He's done for you. And in response, commit to serve Him this year in all those areas of your life. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's turn the lights down. Let's have our worship team come up. So we're sitting at the Lord's table this morning, going into a brand new year, and I would ask that you would just contemplate life. Ask Him to help you grow this year. You know, it's very possible that some are here this morning or watching online who have not yet received salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to have that opportunity right now. Go into this new year a brand new man, a brand new woman. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, your King, your Lord. It means that you must be honest, you must repent, you must admit to God that you are a sinner, that you've blown it. You must recognize that Christ came and died in your place, took the punishment for your sin. Your sin was paid for through His sacrifice, not yours. He sacrificed Himself for your sin. He paid the price for you. And then He rose again, and now you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You ask Him. You place your faith in Him. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now, just as a way to help you exercise that faith. Ask Jesus to be your Savior right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I place my faith and trust in You right now for salvation. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash away my sins. Make me born again. Change me. Fill me with Your Spirit. And help me to live for You this year and each year You give me. You should find the elements under the seat in front of you. If you could pick that up, this is a self-contained kit. If you're listening at home right now, get these elements. We'll take these in just a minute. Normally, we have our elders come forward and we distribute it and we have a song. And I've always liked that because it gives you an opportunity to think what you're doing. And so I would like to do that again. We're not going to distribute anything. But I'd like you to grab these elements, and I'd like you to hold them, and I'd like you to recognize what these represent: a broken body and shed blood for you. Just hold them. And we are going to sing a song together, Amazing Grace. And I want you to just spend that time with the Lord that you need right now. Maybe you need to reaffirm, recommit. But let's sing this song to the Lord, and then I'll lead us in partaking.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. My heart to feel, and grace
Thank you for the tremendous sacrifice that was made. The only sacrifice possible to save us, to make it possible for us to be forgiven. We humble ourselves before you. There's a real small film at the top that you can just kind of peel back, and that'll get you to a little wafer there. Small, skinny. Why don't you take that out? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take together. Now that next level, obvious, a little foil. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together. Let's remember. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Lord, I want to pray for your abundant blessing to be upon each family represented here, each family tuning in. Been a tough year as we go into this next year, Lord. I pray for healing. I pray for strength. I I pray for courage. I pray for growth. Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives in such a way that we become well-rounded people, growing in every area of life that matters, blossoming for you. Lord, I pray that you would make our family stronger, our marriages stronger, churches stronger. We trust you. We thank you for your great love and the grace that you pour out on us day by day. Lord, we are motivated by all that you've done for us. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.